The thoughts, views, and opinions expressed on group chat are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Buffalo Toronto Public Media, its leadership, or its affiliates. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to our chat. Thanks for joining us again on group chat this week. Nayila Ansari Cotillo, Bentley. And we had such a great episode last week. We've been talking about all week. It's fun to be back here again to be able to talk more about the things that happened in between now and then. And I do have to apologize because I got so into last week's topic and interview. I completely got to do State of the Scroll.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's okay. We figured it out afterwards. We were so invested in it. It was really good. That was a great episode.
Yeah, it was good. And Tony Davern, who then, well, the score won an Oscar for Sinners, and he did two of the songs. We got to see him win. And then he messaged us, actually, on St. Patrick's Day and said, "How's my group chat, people? Happy St. Patrick's Day." And he wants to come on again. So
We have to have him back on.
But how cool was it to sit there and watch? Well, we kind of watched the Oscars together, right? Because we were texting back and forth.
In our General Hospital group text. And we were watching it together. It was amazing.
Yeah. The Michael B. Jordan moment.
Ugh, yeah.
Let's.
I wish there were some other moments that happened that did not happen. But, you know, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. So.
Charles.
This. Charles is ready. This week we're going to dive a little bit into what was said at the Oscars, more so because of everything that's happening in media right now. I don't know if you call it consolidation or just takeover.
Monopoly disaster,
oligarchy. And we have some great people, some experts that we are so fortunate to have available to us.
I'm so excited for this show.
Me too. I'm excited to pick Tom's brain. So we're going to be joined by Tom Calderon, who is current president and CEO of Buffalo Toronto Public Media. But he was also, in his past life, not that long ago, executive VP of MTV and MTV2, head of global strategy for Spotify Studios. So that included podcasting, anything that you would think of basically in media, and president of VH1 as well. And then we'll be joined by Peter Johnson, actor, writer, and film director, and one of the co-founders of Casting Buffalo, to dive into the independent side and how that affects artists when you have these big conglomerates. So, but first off, because Charles did not get his moment.
People were mad last week that we missed State of the Scroll.
Yeah, including Charles, who never gets mad, but was, you know.
We had a little side eye look. He was like,
he reminded us, but it was a great episode, so it's okay.
We had
to get that interview in.
And you can see the full Tony Davern interview on our YouTube channel, where you are right now, possibly. So,
where you can like, comment, and subscribe.
That's right, Charles.
See, that's what everybody's waiting for. You gave it to them early.
It's like The Voice. Everyone's just waiting for like Charles's voice to come on.
So what has been going on in our group chat?
Oh, well, since since we didn't have our State of the Scroll last week, there's a lot that has just added to our chat. First things first, obviously, as you guys were saying, we were in our group chat going off about the Oscars. Sinners, that was our fave. We was really looking forward for that, for them to win. They won 4 out of their 16 nominees. They won for Best Original Screenplay, Best Original Score, Best Cinematography, and Best Actor. Now, in my opinion, I feel like they won all the categories I feel they needed to for that movie. Like original screenplay, there's no doubt that Ryan Coogler should have won for that one. Cinematography, I mean, I studied media, so
yeah, she's Afro-Filipina, so yeah. My family was
and
real
the first
excited.
Woman
was
to
the
win,
first,
like
first
that,
woman to win,
that
first
is,
woman, and she's black. So
it's just added to the list.
Yeah, and then obviously the biggest one. Michael B. Jordan won it for Best Actor. And as I told y'all, I jumped up like Michael Jordan did.
He did. The chat was like
in the shot. In the shot.
I leaped out of
it. Against Cleveland. I literally jumped up for joy for that. You would have thought that I was related to Michael B. Jordan the way I
It's true. The brother on the side in the lime green suit.
Yeah, but it was just is honestly is good to see because I've been a fan of his from when he was doing soap operas. Mm-hmm. You know, and I believe he said that he did. His role was like a week or two after Chadwick had ended his role in the same soap opera. So to see him kind of follow in that footsteps, and then we've seen him obviously in Hardball, but everybody knows his iconic role in Fruitvale Station, and then from there it just went up. So it was really good to see that, and then obviously as most actors do when they win, they go to In-N-Out.
Yeah, which I thought was great. I was that's how you do it, Michael B.
He's right. So real, and you kept seeing the videos pop up over this past week of him, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio hugging him, and, you know, it's interesting when you were talking about his early career and mentioning soap operas, because I remember we did an episode, and it sticks in my head all the time. We were talking about episodes because we were talking about General Hospital and Brick, but... I mentioned the acting, and Nayla turned me on to an idea that it's actually really hard to act on a soap opera.
Soap operas are very difficult because it's day to day. It's like you're going to work on every single. It's not like a motion picture where you have this time and you have all these rehearsals and things like that. It's a very quick turnover.
Yeah.
So you have to know your stuff, which, you know, some people will, you know, kind of judge the acting quality, but when you're getting something basically like cold reads all the time, that's something really difficult to do. And Susan Lucci actually gave props to Michael B. Jordan, who was the OG.
Yeah, Susan Lucci, Erica Kane,
the best. I did want Sinners to win the best picture, though. I will say that I was a little kind of bummed on that.
But like, I know I was too. And then another thing you said that last week. Was after we did the Tony Davern interview, you mentioned that Ryan Coogler did such a great job in choosing the cast, the actors, the people behind the scenes.
Yeah, I feel like he doesn't get enough credit, and their casting and his wife that did a lot of, you know, the work on the production scene. It's very difficult to do a film with that kind of money and backing, and you're getting people that some folks really don't know.
Right.
And you're taking that risk. And it's interesting because The Pitt is doing that as well, which won a bunch of like Emmys. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are like kind of stage actors that really haven't been on screen.
Yeah.
You know, you have your couple heavy hitters, but to kind of take that kind of a risk is really big. So I was happy to see the performance and to see I Lied to You on there. Misty Copeland came out to give my boy Timothy Chalamet a little side eye on his
and apparently they said comments. They said that she was performed, like when she came on and did her old spot, she was directly in front of him.
Good.
And I didn't know that part.
And
I
it was like
that.
The biggest flex because, as you know, she had just got hip surgery.
Well, that's what I was surprised about. I was like, I don't know who her doctor is, but I need to find out because she was given legs and everything after that hip surgery. That was no joke.
Surgery was in December.
Yes.
And she came out and was right in front of him. Like,
yeah, tell her that.
She must have really been going to physical therapy because, you know, people drop out after like that first 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, tell her that ballet is not important.
So, yeah. So it was a big night for Sinners. And then now we got to pivot. Because we have to talk about, we have, if you ever need to get to the bottom of something, if you ever want to get to the bottom of something,
FBI, Bentley.
I have the perfect person to get that information for you. And that is one Bentley right here. FBI.
FBI
okay?
Bentley. Cass so, Patel.
Listen, don't mess with my girl. Don't mess with anybody that I care about or like. Now, listen, I don't have a weird relationship with Rihanna because that's why, you know, this all happened to her. But I instantly... I'm like, I'm going to find who did
she
this.
Did her, she did her
she did her due diligence. Charles and I are in the group chat, and she's like breaking news, Rihanna's house is getting shot up with, like, the kids and, like, ASAP Rocky's in the house, And, you know, Charles and I are like, wait, what? Like, what is going on? Of like, of course, it's me. It's like, oh, is this some girl that ASAP was messing with on the side? Like, yeah. It's like totally being just terrible gossip.
Yeah.
And then Bentley's like, no. Literally, ping, 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 ping. This is who it is. Like, she's sending, like, the girl's Instagram page. This is what she says. She said this about Kim Kardashian, too. Like, we're so... We're like, what is that? We knew the whole thing before TMZ got it because of FBI Bentley over here.
Because I had a feeling. I think it's because I watch too much true crime. However, I had a feeling that it wasn't an ex. I always think that, but for some reason, maybe just I just love their relationship. That I was like, no way, it's not an ex. It can't be, not with ASAP. And I was like, it's some crazy person that's obsessed
you
with Rihanna.
Well, I don't even know if it's like an obsession because I don't know. Like, so what was that? Sunday, March 8th, a woman from Florida by the name of Ivana Ortiz fired multiple shots into the house. And she has had videos, disturbing videos aiming towards Rihanna. Don't understand why this all happened. Like, what exactly?
Florida, you know, that's where they say all the crazes.
Bath salt. It started. Bath salt started down there, and it's like it's crazy when you really sit there and you're looking at like these videos. I was watching videos and she's talking about Rihanna's the devil, and you know, there was an email that that her husband at the time. Said that she wanted him to denounce like his love for Rihanna or something like that.
FBI Charles. Okay. That's a little added layer there.
But then like because of that, he like got cuts to the other kids because he's like, yo, she's crazy, like loony. And now she's her bail is set at $1.8 million.
Which should be more than that, but that's
should
probably...
You know. And her next court appearance is March 25th.
So she was also saying that Rihanna stole all of her poetry and material. And then one of the clips, she was reading from the Bible. But then the next one, she's talking about the devil. So she posted this all on social media.
Yeah. I mean, social media is you just need to.
But can I ask? So we found out that Rihanna and ASAP were not in the house. They were in an Airstream camper outside of their house.
What?
That got hit.
Yes.
What?
But why? What? They got to get away.
See, Charles, here we go.
They
got to
get away
Bentley.
From the. Sometimes you gotta get away from the kids, I guess. I don't know.
So
but...
the nanny in the house with the kids. See, probably, now I'm invested in a different way that I was.
Maybe the nanny's in on it.
Probably.
Maybe she was like, hey, they're in the Airstream.
No, I doubt that.
No, that's
I doubt that.
That's
I know that like I believe it was yesterday they showed they were in New York heavily secured.
Right? Oh yeah. They
yeah,
have
I can't imagine. And you were saying Charles was saying that like Rihanna's always really welcoming to her fans. So this is kind of like a big blow.
She's very
for
open.
Her
like
and
there
the
was
fans.
A video that came out and she like had the door open. There's fans by and she's just wave talking to them, doing all types of stuff. And it's like sometimes you have to have that boundary of security because you don't know who is going to, you know, when I think of stuff like that, I think of Selena because I think of how Selena, the fan was the president and then that all tragically ended.
Well, she's going to probably definitely change. That fear can change everything for you. So I'm sure not just now with the security, but unfortunately, I doubt she's going to be that open with fans anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's ballsy to do. Not only, you know, with the kids being there, but also her husband being there, too. And ASAP is not a coward by any set of imagination. So you have to be bold to try it.
Yeah.
So to once again pivot, and this is kind of this is very interesting that this was in our chat. We've been talking about these commercials that have been circulating between Burger King.
I'm invested.
McDonald's and Wendy's.
Wendy's all day.
Yeah.
Wendy's has the best clapback. And I know I brought that up like two episodes ago, but if you really want to just take some time and laugh, go to Wendy's X page.
I was a little upset though. So I was we were all watching the Oscars, and we happened to see the Burger King commercials, right?
Oh, I forgot your crown, Charles. I'll bring it next time.
So I was a little upset because I've been to Burger King of recent, and they said like, oh, they're updating their Whoppers and the Whopper's going to be in a box. I didn't get a box.
No box?
No box.
Well, Whopper's that's because still... you shouldn't have been at Burger King. You should have been at Wendy's. That's
Whoppers still taste the same. Nothing changed. Nothing.
I was so... We were talking about this so much that I was craving Wendy's so bad. After a doctor's appointment, I'm like, I'm going to go through the Wendy's drive-thru.
After I get all my blood work done.
I know. Like, hey, I'm going to Wendy's. My scatterbrain drives away without my food. Charles and Nyla are like, go
You
got to
go back and get your food.
Yeah. And it's hot.
I don't know. I was getting on the highway. I was so mad. I still haven't got my Wendy's, so we might need a field trip.
It is worth it when you see the commercials. It did make me want to go and get a Wendy's.
Which is funny because the whole campaign started with Burger King and McDonald's, right?
Mm-hmm. And then, I still haven't tried that because it looks gross.
No. And then Wendy's is the one that's probably profiting off of it after their response.
Well, because the clapback is amazing. Yeah. Why would you not go to Wendy's after that?
Yeah.
Wendy's is the best, I will say.
It is the best.
And their Frosty machine is always working.
Yes.
Yep. That was the shade.
Yes.
And their Frosty machine is always working.
Yeah.
So that's it for this portion of State of the Scroll.
We just solved all of the problems.
We did.
Today. So coming up, we are going to revisit the Oscar conversation in terms of creatives and some of the speeches and things that went on during the Oscars, specifically addressing censorship and media conglomerates. That's next on Group Chat.
Public media keeps our community talking and thinking together. Hear perspectives that matter on BTPM NPR. Experience meaningful stories on BTPM PBS. Enjoy performances that connect us on BTPM Classical and discover new voices on BTPM The Bridge. These are conversations that shape our region and open our world. This is public media. Visit btpm.org.
Why do so many people turn to Buffalo Toronto Public Media? It's because we bring you more than just TV and radio. We deliver trusted news, inspiring performances, and programs for the whole family. From Nova and Frontline to BTPM NPR's local news and music sessions from BTPM Classical and BTPM The Bridge. Public Media connects you to the stories, music, and moments that matter. Explore more at btpm.org. This is Public Media.
Thanks for joining us on Group Chat. I'm Bentley, Nayla, co-host. I always have to remind people of that because you were a repeat guest.
And
you were
our favorite.
And now we just hang out and bother Charles in our group chat.
Here in chat in the General Hospital group chat.
Because of Brick, Stephen A. Smith, who is not running for president.
Oh, he's there. Not.
Yes.
Well,
we
as
set that
of
down.
Today.
All right.
Well,
he heard
today.
Our group chat and quit.
Charles probably sent it to him. So you watched the Oscars. We were talking about the Oscars and a lot of conversations. A subtle communications came up about the state of media, the state of movies, oligarchies happening, all of the uncertainties and how that affects creators as well. So we have an expert with us. We are fortunate enough to have Tom Calderon as the... He's like expert.
Right. He knows more than anybody else on the subject.
Yeah, I don't think you get more.
By the way,
so. Listen, you and Charles need to have your own podcast because Charles never lets me say anything good about him either. But now he's your favorite, so there you go.
He is.
Current president and CEO of Buffalo Toronto Public Media, and in his past life, which is why another reason we're fortunate to have him, executive VP of MTV and MTV2, president of VH1, and head of global strategy for Spotify Studios. So you have seen a lot,
yes.
Especially
yes,
in regards to what we are talking about today. Yeah. So the big thing the Skydance Media, what do you call it? Do you call it a merger or a takeover at this point?
In a sense, it would be a takeover because it's based on stock, right?
Yeah.
So you are, you know, basically gaming the system to get the stock price at a certain thing that you could take it over. The issue is, do you have the assets to buy it, which they don't. So now they are on a, frankly, a roadshow trying to raise the money in Saudi Arabia, in China, and other locations outside the United States.
This is a bad episode of Secession.
Secession is real, right? It is real. It is real. And, you know, and I think it's just, you know, you have to always follow the money, right? And I think a lot of times people forget both President Reagan and President Clinton both were deregulators when it came to media. So that's why you have, you know, one or two media companies owning a lot of properties in one market, or the fact that, you know, you weren't allowed to own a TV station, a newspaper, and a radio station, but now you can. It's, and the, that kind of deregulation, I think, really hurt media in just in general, mm-hmm. on just distribution and everything else. And then you look at the other side of it too, on the news and journalism side, is when deregulation happened, that's when a lot of the news headquarters around the world started shutting down because there's no responsibility to do those, which frankly, politically and also for people's safety was actually not a good thing because no one was really watching. So other than the BBC and maybe a couple of others, there's one UK bureau and that's about it, you know, and UK yeah. is not Iran, UK right. is not India, UK is not Korea, you know.
They don't want us to know that stuff.
Well, that's, you know, again, not to be tinfoil hat, yeah. but you know, there are repercussions to all the deregulation, mm-hmm. and it happened twice.
Yeah.
Under two, you know, a Republican and a Democrat. So,
yeah.
You know, so it was equal. Yeah.
Follow the money drill.
Correct.
I mean, yeah. I didn't know anything about this until I saw, like, the father and son and, like, the plastic surgeon.
Ellison's.
On TV, and I was like, who are these people? Yeah. That's well, taking it over. And
so... Yeah. If they do what is planned, what they're trying to do,
right.
some of the things that would be under one umbrella and they would be control over TikTok, CBS, CNN, HBO, Discovery Channel, BET, Cartoon Network, Comedy Central, DC Studios, Warner Brothers, Charles, I Stole Your Mom.
Yeah, that's
just to name a few.
Just to name a few. Yeah. So I don't think that people that are consuming media really realize everything that's affected, because you're just trying to figure out where to watch things on yep. your menu.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, when you go through that list, what you're also realizing is, let's take Comedy Central as an example in HBO. Will there be, like you're seeing now with 60 Minutes, will you see sort of a heavy-handedness about what gets greenlit now?
Yeah.
You know, South Park is probably the safest of all of them at this point. They haven't been touched despite everything they've done recently about this administration. But you have to look around and go, okay, now you have CNN and CBS News under the same umbrella. What happens there?
Yeah. Right. And what information do you get?
Correct.
Especially for your safety now.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
And Peter, so this kind of gets into your world when, you know, Tom was talking about the projects that get greenlit, because you are Peter Johnson, actor, writer, director and co-founder of Casting Buffalo.
That's correct.
So you work with independent artists, you work across the board. How does this affect you as a creator and in your business? Mm.
So what's really interesting, I work alongside with other producers, I work alongside with other actors, directors. And it's, for one, just as a performer of color, right? Mm-hmm. Watching the Oscars recently, you know, again, it made me proud only because it's very hard to get those projects made in general.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So as an artist, we're always told that, oh, this is good, but it's probably only going to work like domestically.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work internationally. It's not going to work globally. It's not going to be that type of project. So even, you know, watching the Oscars in just seeing this type of project being made, I'm hoping that it shows other producers that this is possible, right? It affects the content that we watch, you know?
Yeah.
If we can't make stories about other cultures, about other worlds and things of that sort, you know, because it's, you know, may not have a global appeal, you know what I mean? You're only showing one opinion.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You're only showing one scope of everything. That's kind of my two cents.
Yeah.
Right now, being in this age of like social media and Everyone is being glued to their phones. Anything is possible, right? So like now it makes it a lot more viable that the local filmmaker can make a project and, you know, it catches other people's attention. So the avenues and stuff are still, you know, are actually more abundant now than I've ever seen, you know, for the local guy to actually step up and do it. So, you know, the studios and stuff like that, they're going to be a thing of the past. They're kind of phasing out a lot of those big conglomerate movies, you know, and they're just finding other ways to make it.
Yeah, there's actually movie studios in California that used to house The Tonight Show and ER that are just shut down now. It's like a ghost town now, you know, the way this has gone.
Absolutely. And then you find places like Buffalo, where Buffalo in particular, I mean, I try to sell Buffalo to producers that we're anywhere USA, right?
So, yeah.
We don't have palm trees. We don't have skyscrapers. You can dress this place to be anywhere you want.
Yeah.
We also have tax credits. We have, you know, functioning film studios. And because of that, and you know, with the cost of living in Buffalo being very cheap, it's very attractive to, you know, to a lot of studios. So people are coming here. In places like LA with the big film studios, they are deserted.
Yeah, it's costing
well,
much
and
money.
It's
absolutely
cheaper to shut down the streets of Buffalo than it is New York.
Right. For sure.
You know?
For sure.
I mean, Georgia's done it the best. Of all the states, Georgia's tax credits are incredibly. I mean, that's why Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
You know, and when we were at VH1, we did all of our scripted series in Atlanta. It was just cheaper and more cost effective than New York.
He brings up Tyler Perry. I know, Charles, you were talking about this because Tyler Perry now has stake in BET Plus.
He had. They took it.
Paramount is taking it because they are buying BET Plus.
Yeah, it's always been under the umbrella of what Tyler did was basically help fund BET Plus and put his own content on because he didn't really have a home for his content, an exclusive home, let's just say. But he's now given that up. Not sure why. But he's given that up, so that it's all in the house of BET or in the house of Ellison at this point.
But is that where we're at now? That creators have to invest in these distribution platforms to get their work out there.
So let's go old school for a second. Yeah. Oprah started her own cable network. We saw that ended. TV's hard, you know. Yeah. Cable is hard. Distribution is hard. You know where the key is going to be. I agree with you. I think that creators are still going to find, you're going to have those magic Tiger King moments. You're going to have your right? You're going to have your Blair Witch Project. Like these things that just come out of nowhere. Those are few and far between. The issue is going to be as you whittle this down to only maybe two or three platforms of distribution, then you've got almost like a landing planes at LaGuardia Airport. You're going to have all this stuff backed up. Where are you? It doesn't matter the marketing. What carousel are you on? Are you even getting promoted? Yeah. If you're not Adam Sandler and stuff. And the dirty little secret about all of it is that as much as like Netflix and everybody puts new stuff on, at the end of the day, the most popular shows on Netflix are The Office and Friends, and Parks and Recreation. Not some of the new stuff that they put out there unless it's got incredible buzz. So I think for the creators right now, it's you're going to have to create your own wake. You're just going to have to because even if you're on Netflix, if I can't find you in 10 seconds, it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
It's not going to matter, you know.
Tom, can you explain a little about what distribution is? Because
sure.
I know we hear the term, and as consumers of media, you know, our listeners may not completely understand that.
Yeah, I mean, it really goes down to after you've created a piece and you pitch it to different studios or different distribution partners. So Amazon would be one, Netflix obviously would be one, Peacock would be one, and now Paramount Plus, or not now, but Paramount Plus would be like the big four, so to speak. Then underneath it, you've got Roku and Tubi. You have our platform, BTPM Plus, right? So there's all these people in this distribution thing. A lot of times, the cost of entry, which used to be very lucrative, is not that lucrative anymore. So sometimes you have to bring your own sponsor. And probably the best example of that, it was Survivor. So Survivor was pitched to, which is now 20 years old, was pitched to almost every network in this under the sun. The only reason why it got greenlit is because the producer's like, all right, you know what? I'm going to get Coca-Cola to do product placement in there, and that's how I'm going to get it on the air. And they greenlit it. They greenlit it for a summer series. Like, nobody watches TV during the summer. Just put it on there. you know, 25 years later, look at it. So I think sometimes you have to create your own noise and figure out how you're going to one up the in a sense, you're not just the distribution partner, but how you're going to make sure that they know that they're vested into a project that's going to have a long legs and give that platform more buzz. Because right now, you know, people would cancel HBO Max when Soprano season was over. Okay, I'm just going to cancel it, yeah. And I'll go back and get it. So how do you keep those people 12 months a year as opposed to 6 months a year? That's the challenge right now. So you're able to help me bridge that to make it a full year. So, but there's really only five distribution, which is so weird because when the cord cutting happened and cable was sort of floundering, oh, I have so many choices. In reality, you don't. You don't have as many as you once did, frankly. I can't believe I'm saying this, back in the 200 cable channel universe, yeah. Which you had more opportunities.
In addition to that, you know, during COVID and the shutdown of movie theaters killed a lot of business, right, mm-hmm. for these studios. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, you know, at one point we had, you know, you would look at the movies and, I mean, they would be, you know, 15, 16 movies at the movie theater, yep. right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'd rotate and things of that sort. Now, movie studios are trying to recover from that blow. So that changed the way of how they made movies, right? Because now they can't go to theaters. And once people post-COVID learned how to adjust to streaming and all that stuff, the studios took a hit because none of the movies are making money, you know, at the theaters anymore. So now we're looking at streaming, right? Which you have a gazillion options, you know, in mm-hmm. addition, you know, to the platforms that Tom just mentioned, these independent platforms. Now you know, Amazon Prime, you got Tubi, right. You know, mm-hmm. you have all of these other things. So for independent filmmakers, if you can't get one on the bigger networks, now you're going to Prime. Now you're going mm-hmm. to Tubi. But again, you don't have much you know, you don't have marketing, you know, so, right. mm-hmm. you know, people may stumble across your project, you know, but it just makes it very hard, you know, for these filmmakers to now make, and for anyone that's in the industry to make money because of streaming.
Yeah. And I think you have to, as a creator, which is the toughest thing of all, right, is you almost have to now think narrow and deep as mm-hmm. opposed to general market now. I think the idea was around, okay, let me get the biggest hit show out there. And in reality, that's just not what it is anymore. You have to kind of go narrow and deep. Okay, well, let me find an audience that'll do this, that'll actually be the, give it the heavy lift, because that's how we'll create your buzz at that point.
Absolutely. You know? It's always a niche audience, yeah, right? Yeah. So like trying to create to the masses, because there's so many options, they don't work. You have to fine tune exactly who my project is geared for mm-hmm. and go straight at that audience.
Yep.
You know, you may not have 10, you know, tens of millions of views, but you got a lot of subscribers because people, you know, are tuned into that niche
correct.
That yeah. you're providing.
Correct.
Well, and just so, like consumption habits changing and how people watch things. You know, you see YouTube watching times increasing. And I always go to you, Nayla, because you teach classes surrounding this. You mm-hmm. also yeah. are in theater, in dance, mm-hmm. and teaching those classes. You're teaching creatives, but then also teaching students about all the secrets behind
yeah.
media. But how are your students consuming media?
Unfortunately, they're watching a lot of bad media because they come to class. I'm like, where did you get that from? Right, and they're right. like, Instagram. It's like, that's not good. Like it's, yeah. And it could be, right? But you don't know that they're an expert or not. And so one thing that we're finding is like we have to teach our students how to critically think. And I think what's happening in the shift in media is we can't have one without the other. I think folks that are understand that are intellectuals, that kind of understand the world, that have, you know, kind of pre this, you know, everybody taking over distribution companies and all of these things, you had to think, like, is this news good?
Right.
Right. right. And I can take from a news perspective, the students don't know any different. Because this is all, like, social media for all the, like, I have a lot of Gen Z students. All they know is social media. Yeah. So they're getting right. things off TikTok. They're getting things off Instagram primarily. I would say those two platforms. They go on YouTube, but they don't know if the source is credible. So we're trying to get them to understand you have to look at people's background. Just because someone has a podcast doesn't mean they're actually an expert in something. And that's really dangerous for me. I will say in terms of movies and films, they don't watch, a lot of them are, they really watch YouTube.
Yeah. yeah.
They'll watch people do their own series on YouTube before they go into like a subscribed show yeah. that they stream.
Right. I mean, it's funny. You go back to the verification of some of the social media posts. What was the first thing that Facebook shut down 2 years ago? Their verified fact checkers, yep. Right?
Yeah.
So you take care of the fact checkers. They're gone. And all of a sudden now, you know, where's the line of not just journalism, but where's the line of truth and, mm-hmm. And verification? And then on the other side, you talk about YouTube. One stat that, you know, people get shocked to hear, but it is true. And I am actually part of this population. On the smart TVs now, the first app that people go to is YouTube. They don't go to Netflix. They don't go.
Yeah, that's so true.
Know, they go to YouTube first, and I do. That's the first place I go.
I'd say.
Right. So, and whether it's whatever true crime, whatever it is that you watch, people, because everything's down to not in 30-second bites, but each episode's around 16, 17 minutes. So you can probably watch five or six things in one night, as opposed to committing to 2.5 hours of something, you know, which a lot of people don't have the patience for.
Let me ask you, is that because... I think our brains are changed where we need to constantly have the dopamine, where things need to be very fast to entertain us now?
I think to some extent, but also I think that YouTube's a good example that the completion rates of some of these episodes that are about 30, 35 minutes are actually pretty good.
But yes.
So I don't think it's about 60-second things, you know, because everybody blames MTV for that. But frankly, the first person you should blame is Sesame Street for that. So, because they were the ones that started with the 30-second, you know, ABCDEFG, yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So really it was Sesame Street first, then MTV second. But I think a lot of it has to do with and more. So I just saw a clip on TikTok, but I want to see more. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing with TikTok, as the list you put there, is like, where are the creators going to say no to? You know, when will the boycott happen around TikTok when that eventually that merger goes through?
Because it's going to happen. I mean, yeah. I think a lot of my students really enjoy YouTube because it seems authentic to them.
Right.
Like the people seem like they're normal people. It's not, they it's don't sloppy, really like the over. Yep. Yeah. They don't like this like overemphasized thing, especially when it comes to the news. Because I'll ask my students, like, what did you learn? Like, what's happening in the world today?
Yeah.
And they only know because they get it from like a bro podcast,
wow.
Which is problematic, but it's real to them. But they'll listen to like an NPR because they'll feel like that's a real news, that they're actually getting real news as opposed to getting something that's fake. After, you know, we kind of talk about like, where are you actually getting some of these sources from?
You know, go to the dopamine thing. There was a study just done about how people fall asleep to things besides like rain or a fan. Like, we have this thing called Twilight on our YouTube channel where you can hear basically a dryer going to kind of calm yourself down. The other thing that people are falling asleep to, where your brain is wired for, is things that you're used to watching and you understand how the format goes. So you may fall asleep to Law and Order because you know it's this plus this plus this and a resolve, where people can't fall asleep to something that's constantly moving or whatever.
Wow.
So your brain is trained to sit back, where YouTube is more of a lean in. So I think that's the difference.
There's also new platforms.
That explains. I always say, I'm like, how do I fall asleep? I put true crime on to fall asleep.
Because like, you know
Dateline,
how it ends.
Yeah.
You know
I've how seen it every, ends. Every Dateline.
You know
I,
how it
I
ends.
I think you're osmosely, like through osmosis trying to consume like the crime. Like, yeah. Like, this is how you
do
it. Even
FBI right. Bentley,
is that what it is? Okay,
happening.
yeah.
That's how I figured out the Rihanna thing.
So like I go to sleep to, it's weird, I go to sleep to Family Feud.
Wow.
Interesting.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I don't know. Like even my girl, she gets upset because she's like, she hears the ding.
Right. So can I give you a word of advice? Amazon pillow speaker. That's all I'm gonna say. Look it up.
Wow.
Look it up.
Yeah.
But speaking of the whole talk of merger and things like that, I have to thank SJ because she did send me this while y'all were talking.
Yeah.
And it is about more local stuff, the merger with NetStar and
Tenga. Yeah.
And how now attorney General Letitia James has jumped in, and now they're trying to stop this merger from happening.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
because it also will affect the proposed merger with Channel 2 and Channel 4.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Look, those are the scary ones. Those are the scary mergers, particularly in markets like this. And you can say, without an editorial comment, that channels 2, 4, and 7 do an amazing job of local coverage, right? Mm-hmm. You can have your favorite reporters or what have you. So they have done a really good job. The scary thing is that what does that look like after a merger? You know, are you cutting a new staff in half? Because you're not merging because you like those people. You're merging because you want to be more efficient to your stockholders.
Right.
I mean, that's the end of the day. That's not, and again, I'm all for free market. I mean, I came from commercial, so I get stock prices and all that. So, that's the way war works. But I'm kind of glad that they're at least looking into this, because I think we've seen examples of, particularly in New York, with Fox News, the New York Post, Channel 5 in New York, all run by Fox. And there's a certain tone to that coverage, and all because of that merger. And since she's based in New York, she probably lives it every day, you know? Yeah. So that's it. Yeah, and I also feel bad because you talk about the education part and how you cultivate talent. Why would you want to be a journalist now? Wow. Seriously, right, why would you, right?
Right. Yeah.
There's less and less opportunities. There's less and less places to go. Yes, you can find startups, you know, or places like public media around the country where journalism is a pretty safe harbor. But if you want to, you know, lug around a camera, like, there's less and less places to go. I mean, even New York One here in Buffalo now is out of, I think it's out of Albany now.
Yeah.
It's not even here. So,
well, and it's such a, I think it's gotten to be such a thankless profession, because I think on either side, journalists are always getting attacked. Like, you're not one way enough, or you're not another way enough,
right,
or everything's fake news. And now with social media, you know, people, there's really horrible comments that happen locally.
Oh my gosh.
It's insane.
I like what some countries do where, like, let's use Fox News, I'm just being very clinical about it. During the day, it's news coverage, right? And yeah, it may lean a little some way, but it's just news coverage, right? They pick their stories, obviously, that adhere to the agenda. It's the opinion shows, I think, people have where it gets a little funky. Mm-hmm. So now what some countries are doing or requiring is, on these opinion shows, it actually says opinion show.
Oh, wow.
Which I like, because then it's you know, even Joe Rogan should have it on and all these others.
Yeah.
And by the way, even Sam Cedar of Majority Report on the other side. Like, you should have opinion on there, because then what it does is it says very clearly that this is something that is from that host's point of view and not the general news population of coverage.
Because they used to do that in physical newspapers.
Right.
Yeah. Where it would be labeled.
Right.
And it was required. And even on websites at first, when everything transitioned, it was a required thing. But I think it maybe as more as sponsored content became a thing, and then the wheels kind of fell off. But that's an excellent idea to bring back, because
you don't see that. And I would prefer that versus just full blown censorship.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I would prefer that, you know, where it's opinion based and, hey, this is, you know, my point of view, you know, and reminding people of that, you know, because you know, online, you see literally wars of comments of people going back and forth over opinionated things
that they don't know anything of. But it's also very dangerous, especially in terms like medically what's happening, because you have, you know, you have the government saying one thing, which, you know, you can debunk.
Tylenol.
I don't know that people ever like going to the CDC website really for advice. But you have a lot of these influencers that are doing pseudoscience. And I'm just saying this, like, looking up now for like baby things. Mm-hmm. There's so many women that are not getting vitamin K shots for their babies, that are not vaccinating them off of like literally pseudoscience, like wellness, just pages online on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. And it's really dangerous to kids, particularly with the measles outbreak. Right. Like it's all fun and jokes and stuff when people are in comments, until you have children that are quite literally dying.
Well, and I think that goes back to the problem of the deregulation back in the day, which was news organizations within networks were the lost leaders. They did not have to make money, because it was part of their license agreement that they would cover news.
Mm.
The minute that was taken away, 60 Minutes as well as Channel 247 need to make money now, right? This is why you have news from 4 p.m., you know, till 7:30 p.m. and then again at 11, and then their sub-channels, Channel 23, et cetera, doing news as well. News was not supposed to make a profit. Now it is a profit-making organization, which then spills over to this misinformation, because that's, you know, back in the day, whoever you watched, Tom Brokaw, whomever, that was not supposed to make money for the thing. That was part of your mission as a license holder, was these things.
Well, and, you know, we hear a lot of jokes about it. And I know a lot of the, you know, especially with Jimmy Kimmel, and, you know, those are the kind of things you see around censorship and you know, people see that as an entertainment show, don't really think of the ramifications of what it all actually means. And I think during the Oscars, there were a lot of subtle comments.
Yeah,
I mean, Jimmy Kimmel wasn't subtle at all.
Yeah, right.
But how does that really work? Because, you know, he was taken off his network.
Yep.
And now he doesn't give a care. So
when you have enough money, I don't, you know,
right.
But neither.
But are they still, how is he still being allowed to speak his mind? Is it because he's getting ratings and, or
no,
is it?
I think it's Disney's priority to say that we're still a creative company. Because look, if you look at the bigger picture, Disney's probably the most diverse portfolio wise of any of the other distributors. So you're talking everything from animators with Disney films all the way to network television. So I think for them, they looked at the bigger picture going, hey, how are we going to find the next, you know, Disney princess or the next, frankly, you know, ride at our thing if we're starting to shut down and feel like a censorship company, where Paramount, again, Paramount has to do their own business. I'm not making any judgments, but Paramount looks at it more very linear. They're going to start selling their buildings at this point to bring, to get money into.
Yeah.
Right.
Seriously. So you go back to the Kimmel and everything. I think the scarier part about Kimmel and certainly Colbert, which he had like about a month or two left, is that why are the comedians the only ones, quote unquote, talking truth to power? Mm-hmm. That's where it gets scary. You know, they were court jesters at one time. You know, Johnny Carson, old school, would come in the day and do his jokes about politics, but it was kind of benign and, you know, whatever. Why are these guys the ones that are taking the pressure to actually be the truth tellers at this point? That's the part that's scary, when that's what you went to your nightly news for.
Yeah. And I think that public scrutiny, especially within the social media age, is like horrendous, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's almost like dying digitally now is worse than like an actual death.
Yeah,
it's true. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
Public scrutiny in the digital era is ridiculous now. So outside of the comedians who can kind of like say those things, but then hide, hey, it's just jokes. You know, I'm a comedian. It's what I do. You know, they can hide under that versus the regular person in this very conscious, sensitive society. You have to watch everything that you say or you die digitally. You know what I mean?
But here's what I'm going to say. Sensitivity to be sensitive to things is okay, because that's kind of where we are. It's this. It's being scared that you might lose your job over you know, like, look, Chappelle, a lot of scrutiny over his trans position and everything. That's a sensitivity thing that he can course correct or not. That's up to him, right? But when it's, you're saying something funny at the risk of not just losing your job, but a station losing its license, or frankly, losing the power of the DOJ to approve a merger. That's what this CBS thing with Colbert and 60 Minutes and everything was about, so that he can put together that list.
Yeah.
Not because of a story that was factually incorrect.
Do you think it's short-sighted for a lot of folks because, like, this administration is not going to be here for a long time? Yeah. And, you know, they tend to put things out and then they throw it away. Like in education, we were fearful for 2 years of DEI. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we don't care anymore.
Right.
But people by that point had already fired all of these different folks that were in DEI. You know, they're taking professors away and, you know, all these DEI departments. It's just for them to turn around and be like, we don't feel like actually going to court over this.
Yeah, it's always the bright, shiny object, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, look, from our perspective with the defunding and the rescission and everything, sadly, that went very, very fast because he said that even prior to getting into office, right? I think when you look at some of the bright, shiny objects that, you know, this is why we are now in war, right? To maybe distract from other things and stuff. Because even Republicans are saying, why are we doing
this? Right.
Or the voters that voted for him saying, wait, no, he told us we're not going into war. What is this?
Right.
Again, who is challenging all of this? And with the exception of on one side, the Joe Rogans, on the other side, the Sam Cedars, who is actually challenging this? And by the way, you look at these YouTube numbers on some of these de facto political commentators, those numbers are huge.
Oh, I watch the Midas Touch.
Midas Touch is great.
All the time. That's my favorite.
Those brothers right now are beating Rogan on a regular basis.
They just won the iHeart Award. Yep. I've had it girls too on the news. But I get my news from there because really it's like, unless it's like Rachel Maddow or somebody.
Right.
at night that are really giving you that kind of global perspective is hard.
So even take it from the distribution about like how much you pay to the Midas Touches. Ben sitting at his desk with his curtain in the back in his dining room. Like, like there's no set design
and his
here.
Kid, like right next
this,
door.
This, this set, this set looks like, you know, something out of Marvel compared to what, you know, what he has. It's all about the content. It's all about what you're saying.
But he uses his expertise because he's an attorney. Right. So it's like, you know, and that's what I, you know, I try to tell my students about, especially when it comes to the news, you do have people that are doing that work because they've gotten kicked out of these, you know, bigger networks. Like you have Meg D, who started like ZTO News or whatever because he got kicked off of MSNBC for his views, and he's doing
Don Lemon.
Amazing. Don Lemon. Yeah, Don Lemon's doing, I love Don Lemon. Like,
his show is so good.
So good.
Yeah. And I wonder if there will be a study done about how much the 5 o'clock local newscasts have diminished because of his 5 o'clock.
Oh, yeah,
because
I turned on him live. Yeah. I have my subscription and it comes right on to my YouTube. It's like, Don Lemon's on. It's like, yes, he is. And breaking news from Midas Touch.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Has Colbert responded to your video? Because we would love.
I mean, need more videos, Tom, by the way.
Need more videos? Okay.
And we need a burger one, too. It's Wendy's, what we've already decided. But
I'm doing a Wendy's video you
no,
want me
to
do?
No, we need you to do a burger video. Oh, the burger. CEOs that did the burgers, that eat the burgers.
Okay.
We need you to make the decision on what it is. We chose Wendy's.
But, Wendy's, okay, yeah. Look, I do keto, so as long as there's no bread, I'm
okay,
I'm
there you go.
But get a lettuce wrap.
Lettuce wrap.
Here's what I would say about that video. There has been reach out to me directly from people within that orbit that silently clapped about it because of the changes going on in there. I wasn't expecting a response from him at all. It was more of a, frankly, to elevate our problems, and not necessarily on the back of his, but also to show that like this is becoming scary. But there was a, I guess. Here's something actually kind of funny. So our head of data here keeps telling me that every time there's a Colbert story, our YouTube numbers go up with that particular video. But I am not lying when I tell you at least once a day I get two or three voicemails from somebody about the Colbert show the night before. They must think like I work for him or something. Because he's like, oh, that story, that was a funny joke. I'm like, all right, I'll pass it along, you know. Stephen, you know, I have a lot of respect for. He actually taught two of my kids CCD.
Awesome.
And he is, what you see is what you get. He's a really genuine, authentic guy. And I don't think they're going to change their thing. I think it's still going to go away. They're claiming it's budget. Okay, fine. But eventually they're going to realize that they have to put something on at 11:35 because that is a big money-making day part.
Yeah. So. Well, and I think it relates, though, to everything we've been talking about in terms of, you know, Nayla talking about where people are getting information in their news, and look at you have intelligent, you know, Colbert started on a newscast.
Yeah.
And Kimmel as well. So these people are important to have in our ecosystem because that's how we're consuming things. And even when we want a break, we still have this.
But unfortunately, I'm getting yelled in my ear.
Okay, we have to wrap up. We have to wrap up.
More like group censorship.
There we go.
Yeah, so, who's in charge now?
Listen,
Tom's in here, so.
I understand. But I have to take into account that, you know, chopping this down, so, you know. But hey, everybody, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. And I was planning on doing this. I had this big thing in my brain, but it didn't fall through. Saturday is Bentley's birthday.
Yeah! Oh, my gosh.
Hey. Yeah! So everyone in the comments, please wish Bentley a happy birthday.
happy 30th. Right.
Yes,
happy
30th. You know, 30. Yeah. I got a 30th. Dirty 30.
Yeah.
Bentley, isn't your birthday coming up, too?
March 29th. We're both
Shut
Aries.
Shut up.
Okay.
We're both Aries.
That's how I make it work.
We got...
Gotta go.
Gotta go.
All right. Okay. Bye. Thanks to our guests. Bye.
Thank you.